In Proverbs chapter 3, this evening, reading from verse 13 through 20, this is our fifth message in this chapter. We're going to title this, Happy is the Man. He says here, beginning in verse 13, Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in their right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. Heavenly Father, tonight we ask again for thy blessings to be upon the reading of thy Holy Scripture. And Father, as we come to this section again, looking at the subject of wisdom and happiness and blessedness, Lord, we pray that you'll speak to our hearts tonight by thy Spirit and through thy word. For we ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now last week we were in verses 11 and 12 looking at the doctrine of chastisement. And this evening we see here in verses 13 through 20 the happiness that biblical truth brings to us. So we're titling this Happy is the Man, as the first few words are in verse 13. In verse 13 again, he said, Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Verse 14, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Now we've already in the Proverbs series preached at least two messages on the subject of wisdom. So we're going to be looking at this again tonight, but mainly focusing in on the issue of happiness and blessedness. We have a heavenly recipe here for true happiness. And we know that if God can give us righteousness, he can give us happiness, can he not? And so when we look at this, we find that God's wisdom in bringing happiness, it brings joy and peace, it brings harmony, assurance, it brings satisfaction and salvation. And so as we come to this text, and I want you to keep in mind verses 5, 6, and 7, because that will tie in with the message this evening, where he says, Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil, trusting in the Lord and walking in the Lord. So we come here to verse 13. He says, Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. And then again, in verse 18, he says, And she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Not only gain the wisdom, but retain that and keep and guard that wisdom. So the word happy in the scriptures basically means blessed. It has many meanings. But in Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1, blessed is the man. And we find that Solomon's father used that term. And so when we talk about happiness, and we've got a sermon and booklet actually searching for happiness. We've got two or three sermons along these lines. But it's a state of well-being in the inner man, independent from external circumstances. And so when we come to this subject, we find it can be had even in the midst of sufferings. We find as we read through 1 Peter chapter 1 that there's the issue of sufferings, and at the same time there's the issue of joy and happiness. You'll find this in James 1 and also 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And I wrote this down so I wouldn't forget it. It is synonymous with the biblical ideal of blessedness, Psalms 1 and verse 1. Delight, Psalms 37 verse 4. gladness, Psalms 126 and verse 3, and of course, joy, rejoicing, pleasure, contentment, and peace. Now, we've already mentioned this a few times, but when we come here to wisdom, he said, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Again, we covered that twice, two different times, I believe in chapter 1. As we got into chapter 2, we saw this. Wisdom occurs over 50 times in this book, meaning the right use of knowledge, and it has to do with skill in living and to apply what we know to be true. Now, I want you to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 14, but I want to give you just a few other verses in the New Testament. When we think of wisdom, don't think of wisdom apart from Jesus Christ. Because in Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 3, I'm going to just read these for you. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 3, speaking of Christ, in Him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Then in verse 8 of that chapter, it says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So we find that all true wisdom, heavenly wisdom, as in James 3, verses 13 through 18, all true wisdom is found in Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we find that in verse 30, he says, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. So not only is Christ wisdom, and in Him is all wisdom, but you and I, by being in Christ, we have a positional wisdom that's given to us that we're to develop and grow over the years. As a matter of fact, this wisdom is mentioned again in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 18 through 25. It's mentioned again in reference to the gospel in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 7. And then it's mentioned again in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 18 and 19. He says in these verses, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. So, what we're talking about tonight is contrary to the wisdom of this world. The wisdom of this world does not bring satisfaction and salvation. It does not bring peace and joy and harmony and assurance. So Christ is our wisdom. And when we think of wisdom, let us never think of it apart from Jesus Christ. There's other passages like Isaiah 11 that speaks of the wisdom of God, and it is a messianic passage. So notice as we come to chapter 14, and I'm reading in verse 21, and I want you to notice here that happiness is connected with mercy and the truth of God. Verse 21, he that despises his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. So happiness is connected with mercy and truth. Notice in chapter 16. In chapter 16, we're reading in verse 20. Here I want you to notice, as we read in chapter 3 and verse 3, 4, and 5, that happiness is connected with trusting the Lord. He said in verse 20, he that handleth the matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. So happiness cannot be true happy, biblical happiness cannot be separated from the Scriptures and from Christ. Notice in chapter 28, I'm reading here in verse 14. Chapter 28, he says, happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Here, happiness is connected with fearing the Lord. Notice in chapter 29. And we're reading just one verse here also in verse 18. He said, where there is no vision, that is the revelation of God, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. So we find here that happiness is connected with the law of God, the Word of God. So we can't separate the Lord or Christ or the Word of God from true biblical happiness. Notice in Psalms 146. In Psalms 146. Now we're always searching for happiness. The world is searching for happiness. But we know that true everlasting happiness and satisfaction, salvation, comes only from God through Jesus Christ and His Word, and of course by the Holy Spirit. We find here in Psalms 146, I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. Verse 5 is the verse I'm after, but let me just read the first 6 verses. He said, praise you the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth. He returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Here it is. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever. Again, we cannot separate true, enduring happiness from God and His Word. Notice in Psalms 128, in Psalms 128, in verse 1, beginning in verse 1, we're going to find here that those who fear the Lord, as we've seen in Proverbs, are the happy ones. Psalms 146 just told us happiness is to know the Lord. And so here, those who fear Him, beginning in verse 1, He said, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife, shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about the table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed and feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. We find the word blessed in verse 1 and the word happy in verse 3 associated with the fear of the Lord. Notice in chapter 127. In chapter 127, we find in verse 1, except the Lord build the house, thy labor is vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. In other words, everything is vanity without the Lord. Then he says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Now look at this, verse 5, happy, again, blessed. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed. See, most don't want them today. They don't want children, especially men. He said, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gates. The gate, rather. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 1, I just mentioned a moment ago. Psalms chapter 1. And notice here. Now I want you to see in this psalm, we sing this psalm, but God gives a picture of a happy man or a blessed man, and it is those who walk not after the counsel of the ungodly and after the wicked, but those who delight in God's word. Notice as we read verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Here's the blessed man. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Turn back with me to the book of Proverbs. Back with me to chapter 3. And let's read verse 13 again. What I want to do is just kind of briefly go over the remaining verses and give you about three or four examples of the happiness and blessedness of the individual that will trust the Lord. Because we're going to keep coming back to this subject throughout this book and other sermons that we do. Verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Reason, verse 14. He said, for the merchandise, that is the profit of it, the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. We saw this in chapter 2 and verse 4. It says, for if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasure. Verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. We see it again in chapter 8. In chapter 8 in verse 11. Chapter 8 in verse 11. And there's many, many other passages. I've already given you some. We'll be looking at them again in the future. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. So there's nothing that can be compared to wisdom and understanding and knowledge of the Lord. Not even gold and silver and rubies and precious stones. Notice as we come to chapter 3, this time in verse 15. Chapter 3 and in verse 15. Nothing can be compared to it. It is eternal and everything else is temporal. And why doesn't the masses seek after this? Because they don't believe it. Many Christians struggle in this area as well. And they'll study everything under the sun but God and His Word and seeking Him in prayer and to be led by the Holy Spirit. So now as we come to verse 15, she is more precious than rubies, and all things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Just like in chapter 8. Nothing can be compared to this. So why are people seeking it more? We'll kill ourselves for the gold and silver and the precious stones and then die and leave them all here for somebody else to spend. But we don't hurt ourselves at all many times when it comes to the things of God. He says in verse 16, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. In other words, we find that, as in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, if you're taking notes, it brings not only temporal but eternal rewards. In verse 17, he says, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Pleasantness and peace, a peaceful life. We find that yielding to the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5, verse 22, brings peace and joy and love. Notice in verse 18, he says here, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The tree of life was found in Genesis 2, 7. Then in Genesis chapter 3, verse 22 through 24. We also find it again in the promises to the believer in Revelation 2, 7, the overcomer shall have part of the tree of life. Then we find it again in Revelation 22, I'm sorry, yes, 22, verse 2, and the eternal state of things. So the tree of life was a source of life. It was ordained by God for the preservation of lasting life and continued health and vigor. So in verse 18, he says, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Verse 19, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, and by understanding hath he established the heavens. The wisdom that created the universe also maintains the universe. In verse 20, by his knowledge, the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. And in verse 20, another quote from another author says, the wisdom that created the universe also maintains it and distills the vapor from the sea and distributes it as dew upon the ground. It's the same wisdom that was involved in all the creation of the universe, that same wisdom, the same God, is involved in maintaining everything and is involved in our lives. This is why we're told in Ephesians 1 about verse 3 through 7 that we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. In other words, we have these blessings. And in Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 4, he encourages the saints of God to buy of the Lord. Of course, you don't use money to buy this, but go to the Lord and to seek after. And he even mentions satisfaction there, to be satisfied. Why do you buy this and it never satisfies you, he says. And why you buy this and it never brings any really contentment. It's just from one event to the next. But the things of God will bring eternal satisfaction. So let's consider three examples. We'll use Job and Paul and Moses. You'll be familiar with these before we bring this to a close. Turn with me to the book of Job. We'll just turn to each of these. In Job, we'll be reading in chapter 19. Job chapter 19. Now we know that Job was a godly man. We know what he went through. We really don't. We read about it. We really don't understand all that he went through. But Job lost his wealth and his health and his family. And most of this was all in the space of one day. It's not like it's spread out. And I talked with a woman here about 3 weeks ago, standing right out here in the parking lot. And I'd known about her, but never met her. And she had lost, I think, a son on a job. He was killed. And then lost a daughter and a grandson and a son-in-law in a plane crash. We stood and talked about that. I said, we prayed for you. And she said she had some struggles, you know, through all of that. But she says, I've kept my faith. We don't know all that Job went through, but we can read about it. We've never experienced some of these things. We've experienced certain things in our own life. But Job lost it all, and most of it was in the space of one day. He just kept a messenger coming, telling, giving him reports of bad news. But notice here's what he says in chapter 19, verse 25, for I know my Redeemer liveth, that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, underline it, saints, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Those who are lost do not have that hope once their body goes in the grave. And notice also in chapter 13, I think Job experienced much suffering and pain. I think Job also knew something about the word blessed and happiness in the midst of all of that. It said in verse 15 and 16 in chapter 13, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. He also shall be my salvation, for an hypocrite shall not come before him. His friends were hypocrites. They accused Job of being one that was suffering because of his own sins, which were not so. And if you want to write down Job chapter 1, we find him praising and worshiping God. Blessed be the name of the Lord, he says, in Job 1, verse 20 through 22. And it says, in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And then in chapter 2, we find it again where he lays, and it says, verse 7, and so Satan came from the presence of the Lord there and smote Job with balls from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And it says he took him a potsherd to scrape himself with all and sat down among the ashes. And his wife said, curse God and die. And he said in verse 10, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. And we know that in the end of all of this, in chapter 42:10, Job was not only restored everything, but given twice as much. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. So there can be joy and blessedness even in difficult times. In chapter 3, the Apostle Paul experienced this. So Job was willing to stay with the Lord and walk with the Lord even after he lost his wealth, his health, his family, and everything else. And the Apostle Paul, he said that he gave up all things in order to gain Jesus Christ. He says here, I'm going to begin reading in verse 4. He said, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. He gives his credentials there as a Jew. And he said in verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yet doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Then he said in verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So here's one that gave up all, gave up everything so that he could have Jesus Christ. And then Hebrews chapter 11, we'll use Moses, very familiar passage to you. I'll make sure we read this a number of times throughout a year. Notice as we come to Hebrews chapter 11, Moses is another one that had it all. The wealth, the riches, the fame of Egypt, a world empire. But he chose Christ. He chose the Lord. I'm beginning in verse 24. It says here in verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Think about what he could have had if he had just wanted to. But here's what he did, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now look at this, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect of the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, saying to do, were drowned. We have many other examples, but Job stayed with the Lord. Paul gave up everything he had as a Pharisee, as a leader among the Jewish people, gave up everything that he might have Christ. And Moses gave up everything in Egypt that he might be with the people of God, choosing rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So we come back to the thought, happy or blessed is the man or woman that gains this wisdom. And when you gain this wisdom, you gain Christ, because Christ is the wisdom of God. And while being in Christ, we have a wisdom. You see, I've said to you many times, and in 1 Corinthians 1:30, our wisdom had to be redeemed. Our wisdom had to be changed, just like we needed righteousness, our righteousness. We could not gain eternal life with our own righteousness. We needed Christ's righteousness. Well, our wisdom was the same way. And we should not be living like the world, talking like the world, debating the issues of the world. We have a wisdom now that comes from Holy Scripture and comes from Jesus Christ. We should never be caught up in all the debates and arguments that the world are in. I've had two people in the last week try to pull me into discussion about some secular things. I brought them right back to the Scriptures, and I says, here's where I'm at. Let's talk about the kingdom of God and not the two political parties in this country. Let's talk about what God has to say about this. Would you stand with me? Father, we thank you tonight for Christ being our Savior. And Lord, we thank thee for the wisdom that you have revealed to us in thy word through Christ and by the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray as Christians that we would grow in grace. We would grow in this. We would seek it. We would hunger for it as we do things in this world. We would thirst for these things. And Lord, you promised that you would give them to us. And you promised that you'd bring happiness to our soul, bring rest to our soul. And Lord, we thank thee for this, for it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray.